let me begin by saying thank you so much for your prayers. I know my wife posted much of my happenings there in South Africa, and yes, I did get sick for a while, and I thank God for him answering your prayers on my behalf and returning me here safely. And as you'll see in our presentation, I think a lot of good was accomplished. And as BJ mentioned, you had a big part in that. And so I thank you so much. It is really good to be back, though. It's good to be back and see Jack and Artie back at the same time. And Art, it's good to see you, because I know when I left, you were suffering with your illness there. And so good to see you. I hope you're doing better. You know, life is so short on this earth, isn't it? And sometimes people ask, why do you go to Africa? And I had one person saying, don't you ever go again. You come back, you're needed back here. Thanks, Richard. Where are you? And I just thought I'd share with you why I go. And while this is Paul's words, and he was called as apostle to go to the whole world, and I'm not. But in this reading, he captures my attitude that I have. And well, let me just read what he says. First, or Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generation, which has now been made known to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we might present every man complete in Christ. And it's for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And that's my attitude. That God has given me the opportunity and the extreme privilege to stand before you and others and to share the mystery of Christ. His plan that he started before he even created the heavens and earth to save us in Christ and to take that to as many people that will listen. And as you know, as we have said, we have 5% of the world's population in the United States, but we have some 95% of evangelists preaching to that 5%. And that's lopsided, isn't it? When there's 95% of the world's population having only 5% of the world's evangelists preaching to them. So given the opportunity that the elders permitted me and you allowed me and supported, I'd want to jump on that opportunity, especially when people are hungering for God's word in other places. And I tend to keep going back to the same locale so we can continue to work with the same people. But this is true around the whole world, not just in Africa, but in South America and in the Asia and Indonesia, that people are desperate in need of hearing God's word. But let me share with you and just some of briefly the accounts that happened while we were in South Africa. And of course, being there 2.5 weeks, I could spend 2.5 weeks telling you stories. Every day was full. And when I was not preaching or traveling, I was preparing lessons for the next day or later that afternoon. And if we were doing that, we were visiting with the brethren. And so it was a very rewarding experience. So let me just share with you where we were. As you see on these pictures, and I'll show you lots of pictures, it's a long ways to South Africa. I've never been there. Anyone else been there to South Africa? All right. I had no idea what to expect when I got there. It was 22 hours in the plane. Of course, we flew over Iceland and Greenland to Amsterdam, and that was 10 hours, then 10 hours down to South Africa. When you get there, you're really tired, but you're really excited, so the last thing you do is go to sleep. You stay up until that night. South Africa is on the southern tip of the continent of Africa. And so when you tell people you're going to Africa, they're going to ask where? Because Africa is a continent, isn't it? It's not a place, a country. And so there's many countries in the continent of Africa, of which South Africa is one of them. And the capital is Pretoria. The largest city is Johannesburg, which we flew into. We're going to spend time up here, and then we went down to Cape Town as well. As you want to see here, it's a mountainous region, and the perimeter of it is found, surprisingly, I thought it was just going to be a lot of savanna and flat and grasslands, but there's these mountain areas that rim the coastline. And as you know, it's the southern tip of the continent, and on one side you have the Atlantic Ocean, and the other side you have the Indian Ocean. And the two meet there, and it can be very treacherous, and that's where ships would sail around Good Hope, the Cape of Good Hope, to bring their goods to Europe. And so there's where we were. It's a place of 48 million people. But in square miles, it's five times the size of Oregon. So in other words, five Oregons would fit in South Africa. We have 4 million people in Oregon. It has 48 million. Look at all the languages spoken there. English, Afrikaans, which is an interesting language, Zulu, and then there are other ones. I can't even pronounce them. And I always try to learn some of the language when I'm there. I didn't even try because it was really difficult. Here's the people that went with us. And, of course, y'all know Bob. He invited me to go along. It was just going to be the two of us. But this girl that you see on the right, Kara, she asked to go with Bob because she wanted to go on some kind of mission trip, and she wanted to go to South Africa. And he said, sure. 21 years old, just graduated early from college with a degree in biochemistry. She's going to go get her doctorate next year. And when I first saw her, she's a tall girl, about, I don't know, 5'8", kind of thin. I go, oh, no, I hope she survives in Africa. I'm serious, because it can be kind of rough. But let me tell you about this girl. She runs a half marathon. She's working her way up to run a marathon. She goes hunting with a black powder rifle and shoots deer. And when she shoots them, she'll skin them herself. She goes turkey hunting. She restores old furniture. This girl, if you guys, any single guys, you want to talk to me, she's 21. And she's taught Bible classes all through her young childhood and through teenage years. And so she went along and worked with the ladies and the teachers and teach them how to teach young people. Amazing girl. And I just want to plant that vision in your mind. There's need for everybody that wants to go. No matter what you've done prior to this, you can be used in this kind of work. Now, I almost feel guilty, but I don't, because you've seen the huts that we've been around, the villages, where they're just mud huts over bamboo stakes and mud bricks and grass roofs, and the food was satsa and fufu and rice and bony. I was shocked because I thought we were going to receive more of the same. South Africa, it's like traveling from Mexico into California. It's much more developed by the Europeans, the Dutch primarily, and the German. And Afrikaans is the language they speak. It's a combination of Dutch and German, as well a little bit of French. But it's a highly developed country. There are pockets of deep poverty. But many of the places you would think, except you're on the wrong side of the road driving, you would think you were in America. And so this was our initial host house that we stayed in, Franz and Sandy. And that looks like it could be in America anyway, right? And so I hope you didn't feel sorry for me, because it was easy compared to what we've done on other trips as far as accommodations. And I just thank the Lord. And so that's the kind of breakfast I woke up to. So I know some of you are feeling, oh, what a sacrifice Jack is making, and what a hero. Go ahead and think that, you know. But that's enough about food, all right? So I think I put on pounds while I was there. All right, so Johannesburg, we drove 3 hours to Nels Pruit, and it's where we're going to work with the church in White River and Madras. Madras was a village that was more poverty stricken. White River was a town of maybe about 5 or 10,000 where we were hosted by the preacher Rob Buchanan, no relationship to Bob, and his wife Cheryl. They're the nicest folks. They grew up in South Africa and they just spent all their life ministering and preaching the gospel. And it's really difficult because the economy has really gone down in South Africa over the last 10, 15 years because of corruption in the government, according to them. And because of that, there's a lot of poverty and you have to protect yourself. So they lived in a nice, modest house on top of a hill. But to get into it, you had to go through an electrified fence. It was like a compound. And then once you got in there, you had to get into the house, turn the alarm off. And then it was comfortable. But when you go to bed, you had to lock your bedroom door, turn the alarm on. And you felt like you were being barricaded in a house. And it's because there's consistent break-ins for people that are just hungry and looking for food. And it's something that's hard for us to relate to. You don't drive in certain cities at night because if you're on the outlying areas, because people will be hiding in the bush, and when you pull up to a stop sign, they'll hijack your car. And some of them will just sooner shoot you rather than, you know, give you your life. And now, that's not always, but there are constantly hijackings in some of the major city areas. You have to understand, it's a world that you and I cannot relate to in many ways. And I'll show you some pictures of that. So we went up to Madras. Here's Bob walking to it. And it's more like the village that we're used to. Here's the church building which we worked in. I got to tell you about these guys. They're so remarkable. There's 10 to 15 people that worship here. And they would baptize people. They'd move to the city because they need employment. So they start over. They go up to 20, 30, and then they'd move away to maybe even to Australia or to another, or Canada, just to find employment. So they're starting all over. So 10 to 15 people, they found, passed out these flyers that gave the schedule events that Bob and I were teaching there. They had 53 people the first day, and mostly from the community. And it was very successful, that effort. And we got there, and these ladies, they're always beautiful the way they're dressed. And we got there, the people were gathered, and we had to use an interpreter because they didn't speak English predominantly. Now, since then, they have classes on Thursday. Rob goes an hour up there every Thursday, and it took us an hour to get there. And he would have 3 or 4 people in a Thursday Bible class. Now they're having 17 to 20 the last 2 weeks. And it's all because of these efforts that they did in canvassing the whole village. They knocked on every door and gave everyone a flyer, and they showed up to listen to these two white guys, right? So I talked about 2 Timothy, and they wanted that to be taught. It was their request. And again, I just the idea of suffering hardship as a good soldier of Christ was so pertinent and relevant to their cause there because they are suffering. And they do have things a lot more difficult than many of us. There's Bob teaching to them. And then I wanted to share with you what it sounds like to have an interpreter, because here is Becky, reading out of the
Bible. Wayesesuka uJona waya eNinive njengezwi likaJehova. INinive lalingumuzi omkhulu kakhulu, uhambo lwezinsuku ezintathu. UJona waqala ukungena emzini kuhambo losuku lwabalunye, wamemeza wathi kuseza kuba izinsuku ezingamashumi amane bese licithwa.
All right, so that's the challenge, to try to understand their language. Thankfully, we had an interpreter. He did an excellent job, Becky did for us. And without him, we could not do anything as far as preaching or teaching. While we were there teaching, I want you, here was Kara with the ladies in the back. And she every day we would go there, she would teach them while we were teaching the rest of the brethren. And then in the night, we'd go back to White River and hold services there and teach classes to the church there. But, well, this girl, she was a celebrity. You know, they're all want selfies with Kara. And usually we do a group photo afterwards. No, they didn't want us in it. It was all the women with Kara. It was really quite amazing because I think it modeled for them. It didn't matter what your age, what your skin color, you can be a servant for Jesus Christ. And to see a young girl come over and do this was so inspirational to every one of those women. They ate up everything she said about how to teach and how to be a better teacher of the children and other ladies and stuff. Very, very, very inspiring. It's a fruitful land. These are banana plantations. They have pecan plantations and citrus plantations. But remember I talked about security? Can you imagine a hazelnut or in Oregon having razor wire surround it? But all these are out way out in the country. They all have this type of protection because people go in there and just steal all the food just to eat. I was trying to get through, but all right. Luckily, it wasn't electrifying. All right. This is the White River Church of Christ. We went there in the evenings, and both Bob and I taught lessons there. Notice it's much smaller. Same problems. They teach, convert people, and then they leave to the city or actually even to another country. They asked for me to preach and teach on the book of Mark, and we did that. The miracles of Mark, the parables of Mark, and they wanted me to talk about Mark 16. Of course, you all know that, where Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who is disbelieved shall be condemned. Well, from there, we went on to, had a day off, and we're on a tourist visa, so we have to do some tourists. And, okay, twist my arm. So Saturday, we were blessed with the opportunity to go to Kruger National Park. It's probably the size of Oregon itself, maybe a little bit. But we saw animals just in the wild that you'd only expect to see in a zoo. That's how close they were, and I couldn't get it. Would you back up, giraffe? You're a little too big or too close. But they're just, it's stunning. And you're just marvel at God's creation and how majestic he is. And you look at that, and the common discussion card, oh yeah, evolution did that. You know, it's just like, what a joke, right? But it's amazing to see the wildlife. But then we drove all the way back to Johannesburg. Well, some of us were talked, but Bob said, you better not use that photo, but all right. And it's another 3 to 4 hour drive back. And there, from there, we went to Brakpan Church of Christ, and we got there just in time to teach class. And they have a really nice building. It's small. And Bob taught that Sunday night, and then we came back, and we both taught classes the next 2 days. And so the same goes on here. They convert people, and people leave. They don't have a regular preacher, but what's interesting is all the men share in the preaching. And they take some pride in it because they know they have to develop and step up to the plate or else it won't get done. Also, what's interesting, they support 3 or 4 other preachers in South Africa. This is really rare in the continent of Africa, so far to my experience, where preachers are being supported by congregations in the same country. Usually it's all support from the States. And so it's because of their affluence and because, you know, the economy's better in Johannesburg, but they're really good workers that way. There I talked about discipleship and being fully trained and becoming just like Jesus, and that it was well received. There are hosts, Franz and Sandy. They're trying to put together binders or Bible handouts. So they do similar things as we do here. Oh, I said I wasn't going to show you any more food, but that was dinner. That was, what was it? It wasn't Impala. Huh? Eland. Eland. That's a big animal. But it was pretty tasty. All right. From Brakpan, we went up to Pretoria for 2 nights, and that was about an hour drive. It's the capital city, straight north, and a wonderful group of people, all black congregation. But they all spoke English, and there they asked for teaching about how to collect money the appropriate way, then how to spend money. So we did that. It's a great verse where Jesus said about Jesus, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, although he is rich, what? For your sake he became poor, you know, dying on the cross, that through his poverty we might become rich. And that was the principle and how you're supposed to give, the same attitude, you know, financially. And they ate that all up. Wonderful people. This family right here came from, that's the one of the preachers, Funda Mapanza. This family is from Nigeria, just new Christians, and they're just like 4 or 5 months, and they just were there every time. It's just inspiring to meet people of the same faith in other parts of the world, and you realize how small this world is. And we share the same faith with each other. It's the same gospel that is preached there that brings them to Christ and God, and we're all part of the same family. And I'll have some more to say about that in our Sunday worship. From there, we flew to Cape Town. There's a picture, aerial view of Cape Town. I had no idea what Cape Town was like. It's one of the most beautiful places, they say, in the world. And I'm not going to argue with them. It's very, very pretty because the coastline, and this is Table Rock Mountain. There's a cable car that goes up there. You can hike it. We didn't have the chance to do it. But you can see the Atlantic Ocean, and way on the other side is the Indian Ocean. It's stunning. And yet that's where we got to stay. And it's about 1,500 miles if you drove it. I'm just giving you distances so you can see how big this country is. That would put us south of L.A., wouldn't it? LA's about 1,100 miles, but we flew it, and it took about 2 hours on the plane, and the brethren paid for the airfare, which is amazing. Again, you don't see that in Africa, so it's wonderful. Then we went up to Durbanville, where the church was, and our host was Robin and Lynn Bauer, who I've worked with in Africa several times, but here is a picture of on Single Hill, where they sounded off cannons when the coast was clear, no pirate ships were coming. That's the city of Cape Town. It's beautiful, isn't it? And we had a visitor there from Zimbabwe. I'll show you a picture of him. He's never seen this many lights living. He just was sat there amazed. And it is beautiful. That's Lynn and Robin. He's been with me to Uganda and Tanzania. Wonderful fella. And they work just as hard. Here is Robin, and this is Professor, and I'll talk about him in a second. Here's their agenda. I've never seen the churches so organized as these churches were, every one. And they canvassed the neighborhood and worked really hard. So we had meetings there, started Sunday, then Monday and Tuesday. No, that wasn't exactly right, but let me tell you what happened. They have about 10 to 15 people to worship here on a regular basis. That Sunday morning service, they had 73. Did I say 10 to 15? That was Brackman. They have 30 to 35, and they had 73. So that's more than double. And so it became apparent really quickly when they had all these people that they're not going to have enough Lord's Supper communion trays. And I'll show you a picture of that. They asked me to speak about the prophets. But so ingeniously, you know what they did downstairs? They went down there and got egg cartons, cut them out, and they were the perfect size to hold the communion cups. When they served them, they brought in, and here's this paper egg carton. It was given to me, and I go, isn't this great? You know, and that's how they served all, you know, the people that showed up. Wouldn't that be a great problem to have? That you had not enough trays, you had to go get egg cartons, to, you know, to fill up the communion with. So that was the church at Durbanville. That is Craig, one of the boys of Robin. He married, just, he taught a teen class while we were there. Just a wonderful family. They were great hosts. Now, after our main teaching, all the women gathered here, Kara again. And Bob went out and did a men's training class afterwards. So we were just teaching, all of us. If we're not traveling, you know, we're teaching or else preparing for the next class. And they just ate all this up. I hope I have the picture. There's Professor. Now, when you see Professor, what do you think he is? He's a professor, not from Zimbabwe. When you name someone, you say, oh, you look happy, you're happy. And then, oh, you look precious, you're precious. You know what they called him from a baby? Professor. That's his name. He hasn't been to college. He's not a professor, but we call him Professor because that's his name. And it's real fun in talking to him because he has something to say about everything. He traveled 2 days to be there from Zimbabwe. 2 days. Working with the church up there, he wanted to come down. Now, here's South Africa. Right to the north is Zimbabwe. They've been devastated with a drought, which has also afflicted much of South Africa. They got rain while we were there. They also have a president that is so corrupt, he lost the last election but refused to step down, used his army to keep his presidency. It is so terrible, the situation. Now, Dave and Esther helped send food to a couple that lives in this town, a lady, a widow lady, just to keep them alive. And Bob's going there in July of next year, and David's going. And, well, we'll see if I'm going to go too. I don't know. Now, from there, we went south to Hansby. Saw a baboon along the road. It's a fishing village. It's a small place. And there we met the most amazing man. And this is the first thing I saw on his house. He has a B&B, a little place where we stayed. Isn't this a great one? I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. This guy is the most eccentric person I've ever met. He was like a hippie from the 70s. That's why a lot of these people down here in this area are. It's like much of California. I just say that. It's truthful. But he came to the Lord because of events in his life, and now he's preaching. And just, you couldn't find a nicer guy. But when you go into his place, it's full of mannequins and bones. Look at this. Never laugh at your wife's choices. You are one of them. I like that. Here's another mannequin. And then our room was around the corner. And you look out the door, and there's this lady mannequin always looking in. So I look up and go, oh, you know, every time. It's just very interesting. Here's where we were. It's the southern point of the continent of Africa. There's a lighthouse down there. So we went down there. Here is Christo, the guy I'm talking about. Wonderful man. And he has of people that he takes in off the street in such as Sydney, brings them to the Lord. And he has another lady that's living in there with them, him and his wife. And we drive along the road, see someone living by a sign, and pick them up and take them home. And they'll live with them for months and teach them the Lord and get them a job and everything. You've never seen a heart like these people have. It's just very inspiring. Don't you love his T-shirt? I don't need Google. My wife knows everything. That's Christo, all right? A small group, we met in the back of his home, and I got the chance to talk to him about Philippians 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's a message that, you know, they want to hear. And notice it's a mixed congregation. I have to share this with you. These people came for a long ways to get there, and they were there every night we taught. And they, even though we spoke in English, they speak not Zulu, but Xhosa. And the most amazing thing happened, they sang for us. And you say, well, what's amazing about that? They don't have hymn books. They open up their Bible, and that's their hymn book, and they sing out of the text. There's no notes. There's no alto tenor, but yet you're going to listen to them sing. But I have to impress upon you, they're opening up Psalms 42. And it's just four of them, the whole congregation. I wish they could all have been there. But this young boy, these two fellows, and this lady, and she's the shyest one. Here's what their book looks like. I just took a picture of it because they sang out of Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. But I'm not going to play both of them for you. But oh, come back, please. Wow. You might turn it up just a little.
Yes.
Can you hear it?
Zulu.
Not Zulu or English. That is in isiXhosa.
See, they're opening their Bibles now to the chapter. We'd say song number 244. They open to a text in the Bible.
So you're going to sing it right from the Psalms.
Right from the Psalms.
Wonderful. Boy, we need to learn how to do this.
Well, I was trying to ask. There's one group, they don't have any man-made songs. Everything they sing is straight from Scripture.
Do you have enough light, or do we need to turn that one on?
Can I record it?
Yes.
Okay.
No pressure. No anxiety. Pray for everything.
Yeah, be anxious for nothing. Pray for everything. We just
finished. Yikamelitzalela. Yemifulene. Yamanze. Yemjenjalo. Ukozalela. Wetiko
It was so stirring. I just can't tell you. They were so excited. They sang another one, and they just got. Isn't that the way they used to sing the Psalms, though? They didn't have song books, but they memorized them and sang them, and they all had a tune for every psalm. And here, some of them are illiterate, but they memorize them, and then they have a tune associated, and they sing a cappella, just like you would imagine in the first century church. Very stirring, and I just want to share that with you so you know that it's a different culture. It's a different land. They have struggles you and I can't even imagine, but it's really all the same when it's said and done. And they worship in ways that are sometimes so pure and simple that it's just inspiring. And when I ate the Lord's Supper out of that, pulling in that cup out of a tray that made out of egg carton, I couldn't help but think of you all here. Because that was Sunday, and all around the world, brethren were taking part of that same cup and that same bread on that same day. And it just made you realize how small this world is and how much we all have in common, even though in many aspects we're so different. And Jesus and our Father looking down on heaven on each of us as we do that, it just makes you realize all that matters in this life is our faith, is our family and our friends. And if we don't take our friends and our family to heaven because they don't have the faith, what a wasted life. But when you get to share a similar faith with people like this, it makes you want to come home and work just that much harder. Because this is real, brethren. It's what it's all about. And without Christ, we're nothing. And so I thank you for allowing me to share some of these pictures with you and tell just briefly some of these stories. I could just talk about it for a long time. But in someday, maybe some of you can go as well. But let me just leave you with this passage that was read for us by Nick, that we're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, all of us. For all of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And Paul goes on and said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, African or American. There's neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. But we're all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then we're all Abraham's descendants. And here it is, heirs according to promise. We have glory waiting for us. And let me just ask this of anyone here who's not in Christ yet. Please don't leave this building with the chance that you might live the next day or through the next week. If you know who Jesus is, and if you understand what he asks of you, and you want to be saved and made part of his family, you can become a son of God through faith. And it's simply like they did, being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, calling on him at that very moment to save us from our past life, so that we can now become part of his church, his family. And our names then will be written down in the book of life with people like Professor and with Becky and Franz and Sandy, people all around this world you don't even know, but you will meet someday as we're taken up into glory when we pass from this life. Doesn't that sound grand? And while you're on the earth, he just asks us to live faithfully, enjoy the blessings of this world, and rejoice in the tribulations because they make us stronger. And just pray one thing, Lord, come quickly. If that appeals to you, won't you come as we stand and sing the song selected.